Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
Daryl Loomis.
Good day to you.
And we've sent Eric Eschlager on sabbatical. He will be researching some new old films that he's going to bring to us next week.
So. He's back on the blimp or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's on the dirigible. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Yes.
There's a term we don't hear much anymore. The dirigible.
So they should bring it back.
They should bring it back. Like commercial blimp travel too. They should bring that back as well. So okay, it's us here for your Friday listening. I guess we'll dive right into it. New stuff to report. Maybe a review on the Community episodes, which I haven't seen yet. So Daryl, why don't you kick us off?
I'll give you a review on the Community episodes.
Yes.
Yahoo Screen needs a bigger server.
Oh, okay. What are they running? They're running off the old Commodore 64?
Yeah, I mean, it's... So there's two episodes available. And both are pretty good. I tend to be of the mindset that Community... That an episode of Community needs to be watched twice to really get a handle on what's funny about it.
Yep.
Because sometimes it's just so screwed up. And so I'll get to how I felt about the episodes, but I'll probably feel differently the next time I watch them because I've only watched them the one time. But I watched them a couple of days ago, fairly late in the evening. So not prime time, but probably not lowest time as far as traffic is concerned. And maybe everybody in the world is just super psyched to watch Community, but it kind of ran like, say, trying to watch a trailer in 2000.
Nice, yeah.
Online.
Right.
So you'd get like 40 seconds of straight video, and then it would stop, and you'd lose 4 seconds. And so on a certain level, I was taken out of it because I couldn't get a clean feed. Now, that said...
You're not alone, though. I've heard that was a problem.
What's that?
You're not alone in that struggle, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Yahoo didn't anticipate... My assumption is that Yahoo didn't anticipate the number of people that would be tuning in on the day that it opened, or like in the few days right after it started. Because they clearly weren't prepared. I mean, I was getting legitimately irritated by its slowness, and that's unfortunate. And I hope they get those issues resolved. And I imagine they will if I'm not alone in this. So that was frustrating, but it was good to have it back. It was very much. It felt very much. Not very much. A little more grounded in the sitcom world. These two episodes that are available.
Yep.
But they were funny, and it was good to have the characters back, and I think there's going to be some, because not only is Donald Glover gone, but, and I didn't know this before watching the shows, but Yvette Nicole Brown is gone as well.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so with those two gone, you're really only left with the core of Jeff, Britta, Annie, and Abed.
Right.
So your core group is a little bit slim.
And Annie's gratuitous cleavage shots once an episode, right?
yes, of course. Right. You know, I mean, there's a hashtag.
Yes,
for God's sake. You know, it was good to have them back. You know, good to have them back. One of the characters that they brought in, I don't know if she'll be a recurring character or not, but was useful to the show. And overall, I'm fairly positive about it.
All right. And did it have that Dan Harmon magic?
Oh, it's definitely still Community. If it's a little more grounded in the sitcom world, as I said, that means it's probably closer to seasons 1 and 2 than to seasons 3 and 5.
Gotcha.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, although 3 and 5 were my two favorites. I don't think it's going to have a run after this. I think it's probably on its last legs, but six seasons is a long time. Six seasons
of a
movie.
And three networks, kind of, right? Or not really three.
And three, Yeah, well two networks.
Yeah, some
And multiple time changes and
whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, and so it airs on Tuesdays now. Or airs, as it were. It's streamable on Tuesdays. For the next 12 weeks, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, I watched it as well. I didn't quite have that amount of server problems as you did, but it did freeze up once or twice. I thought the second episode was much better than the first.
Agreed.
The Dean's plotline in that episode was really funny, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And but, yeah, overall, I'm excited to see where it's going. Kind of... You know, kind of a bummer not to have Donald Glover there. He added so much, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with it, and hopefully, after this, we can get a movie.
Absolutely, and Nicole Brown is gone from the show, but she does appear in the second episode. She has undergone a dramatic weight loss.
Oh, really?
She looks great.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Dramatic, almost unrecognizable, except she's still cloying Shirley.
Wow.
Even though she's only in there for about 5 seconds, 8 seconds, something like that.
Huh, well, all right. Fascinating. Okay. So more of that to come. And I just did a Google image search. You're right. She is very, very skinny, for sure.
She's very slim down.
Very slim. All right. Mac, what do you got?
Well, let's see. Not sure how much we can talk about The Flash without spoiling everything for everyone.
Let's just go. Because I'd love to talk about The Flash. Daryl, you don't care if we go full spoiler, right?
I don't care.
Nah, nice. All right.
I assume he's pretty quick.
He's pretty quick.
Yeah, he does stuff really fast.
He is pretty quick. So, all right. So, feel free to skip ahead or turn off the podcast now. Doesn't the streaming hits still count for us, so it's all good. So, yeah. Big Flash episode. You go ahead, Mac. Why don't you kick it off?
All right, well, so the big deal was the reveal about Dr. Wells, and I'm kind of torn about it. On the one hand, it was exciting to get the big reveal. But on the other hand, when the show debuted and they introduced Wells and they introduced Eddie Thawne as the cop and the boyfriend, I immediately thought to myself, well, Wells is the red herring, and it's actually going to be Eddie. I figured you out, Flash TV show. But they didn't do that. Instead, it's the Reverse Flash is the guy that everyone thought the Reverse Flash was going to be. So it was fun to have the big reveal, but on the other hand, it was kind of a bummer that it was totally predictable. So I'm a little torn.
How is Reverse Flash not incredibly slow?
He's so Reverse Flash, he's incredibly fast.
he's gone all the way back.
Slow back to fast.
He's not Bizarro Flash.
Okay, fair enough. It's not Bizarro.
Yeah, I mean, you could spin something in reverse, it goes fast, you know?
Okay, that's fair.
That's what I'm saying. That's
why they should call him by his original name, which was Professor Zoom.
Yeah, it's pretty desperate. So it's not as good as the Rainbow Raider, which still is the one thing. So, Mac, I threw a couple Facebook posts during, you know, as it was wrapping up. But as I've had time to think about the episode, I've come to think that is by far the worst of the season. Like, I've really come to dislike this episode of The Flash, even though you could argue it probably had the biggest reveals of the series so far, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I just like all the characters started doing stuff that didn't make any sense. You know, like I like The Flash because even though there may be characters that are annoying or whatnot here or there, I felt like they were kind of consistent with their behavior. You know, I've tapped out of Arrow this season just because the same kind of reason. It just started either getting too crowded or making decisions that didn't make any sense. And so I was just like, whether it was all like on the drop of a hat, Iris and Eddie having a huge problems, and Iris will decide to pitch him overboard, right? Or, you know, when they go bowling together, you know, like they're double dating bowling, like who like touches some guy, you know, touches his face, you know, to get something. It's all flirty and weird. And it just seemed too forced to push to the big reveal where Flash goes back in time for a hard reset, you know, or they take turn to, neck, as the young kids call it, while Joe West is possibly dying and a tsunami is forming. You know, that didn't make any sense. And, And all of it was to serve a gimmick at the end. And I thought, even though The Flash has been generous with its awesomeness and weirdness, like it never kind of sacrificed you know, I don't know. It was just too much and nothing, and they sacrificed a lot of stuff that, I don't know. I had an issue with it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that the opening the can of worms of time travel, does that mean that everything that happened in this episode is going to be undone in the next episode? And we're going to go back to, you know, nobody knowing anybody's secrets. We're going to go back to, you know, Iris not knowing, and it's just going to be, everything's going to be back exactly where it was. I hope they don't do that.
That's
the Star Trek Voyager thing, and I don't want the show to turn into Voyager.
Well, it's going to do that because they crossed too many lines in that one episode. Like, you know, they blew their whole load in one episode, sort of, you know, like, they destroyed two relationships, and they kickstarted this one with Iris, and now she knows the secret identity, and you know, the captain can't walk, Sisko's dead, right? Joe's leg is dangling from a tendon. That's what really kind of irritated me. And for some reason, they decided that they wanted to put up front, like, the main focus of the narrative was the soap opera triangle, quadrangle, or whatever, which is never, it's like, it never worked. It's never the strongest part of The Flash. And I don't know. I really had issues with this episode. It really irritated me. So I'm actually pulling for a hard reset. Even though you're right, we're wandering into the Mad Max wasteland of gimmicks. But I just, what transpired just irritated me too much, you know? So. And the Weather Wizard wasn't even that, I don't know. Like, the actual Weather Wizard, he fired Sub-Zero snowballs, which was pretty sweet, right? Like, for Mortal Kombat. Right. But he couldn't quite. And he was Spartacus, right? Liam McIntyre. But beyond that, you know, I don't know. That was, so it just kind of really kind of crawled up my tailpipe, I think, which is a show that's a story I just love so much, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's first part of a two-parter. Maybe part two will save it. We'll have to keep our fingers crossed.
But dollars to donuts, which is another term you don't hear nearly as much as it should. They're doing a hard reset and the Groundhog Day at, you know, or something like that.
That inventor from Community, he coined the phrase dollars to donuts.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, for me, just today I've got a new movie review. It's Run All Night, the new Liam Neeson action movie. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, okay, it's a Liam Neeson R-rated action movie. I feel like I am contractually mandated to watch it. But I ended up really, I really liked it. I think it was really cool. Kind of a real, or everything happens in one night. The gist of it is, Liam Neeson is kind of, there's some similar bloodlines with John Wick. So Liam Neeson is this retired mob badass, and he needs to spring into action to protect his estranged son, who gets kind of wrapped up with his former boss's son, and there's some bloodshed, and regardless, everyone and their mom wants, you know, Liam Neeson and his son out of the picture. So it's just a almost real-time type of cat-and-mouse game, you know, sprinkled with copious R-rated violence, and featuring Common as a pretty sweet villain turn. I really liked it. I thought it was surprisingly dramatic, and maybe that's because I'm a sucker for, like, I mean, it's easily the counter-program to Cinderella. You could totally see what the suits were like. Okay, the Cinderella's going to wrap up the moms and the daughters, right? So let's just target the dudes. So this is like father-son relationship, redemption, gunfire, fiery fights with, like, sticks on fire and pugilism. And it was, so regardless, good movie, surprisingly dramatic. Like, it worked. It was dramatically effective, and that kind of gave more stakes to the action. So thumbs up for Run All Night, which I thought was pretty good. So, but maybe it didn't do too well, so maybe people are reaching their, I don't know, Liam Neeson saturation point, perhaps? I don't know.
I've long reached my Liam Neeson.
You have? All right. I got stuff. I guess we'll do preview for the site. What's cooking for DVDvert.com? Daryl, back to you.
Nothing huge this time around, but I did review something that I found extremely interesting that will probably be of limited appeal, which, shock of shocks. So, I reviewed, I'm writing the review right now because I'm behind, but It's a movie from 1962 called The Connection, which I had never heard of. And it is a far ahead of its time sort of faux documentary about a group of junkies waiting for their dealer to arrive. And it's very very self-aware, very fourth wall, so the director gets out in front of the camera and talks to the guys about how they're not acting right, and they're not doing things right, and they're being defensive or whatever. The cameraman gets involved. There's weird little things, like the cameraman winds up shooting up at one point, and the camera work completely goes to hell.
All right.
And then on top of it all, it's this very, some of the people in the apartment are jazz musicians, and so almost half of the movie is these dudes playing jazz, and the editing is very jazzy and jagged and irregular. And it's something that could have been made very easily in the 2000s, but was independent cinema in 1962, and I found it absolutely impressive.
Nice. All right. Excellent. Mac.
Let's see, I'm writing it up right now, so look for it in a few days. It's season 4 of The Legend of Korra.
Right.
It's been one of my favorite shows the last couple of years. And like Community, this is the season that just aired entirely online. And but it's really great. It's a really nice sort of cap off to the it's the final season. It's really a great ending for the show. It's probably the most serious season because Korra is dealing with all of her, you know, post-traumatic stress, everything. And so, you know, that was kind of quite the ordeal for her. And it's crazy to see the show go, like, you know, so, like, heavy on the drama. And by this point, there's tons of other characters to keep track of, too. And the writers, they do a really good job of maintaining a whole bunch of different plot lines throughout one season. And it ends with this huge battle, which... I won't spoil the nature of it, but it's just the show really goes to extremes in the final battle like it's never been done before. And as for that, the final ending that was so controversial online, it's a whole lot of controversy over nothing.
Well, what was the controversy? Enlighten us.
I'm just spoiling everything tonight, aren't I? So the controversy was Korra and her friend Kasami went off together, and they were holding hands. And then on Twitter, one of the show's producers went on and said, yes, this did mean they were in a same-sex relationship. And Twitter just, you know, blew up. But it was...
Oh, yes, of course.
Gotcha.
They were holding hands, and then they faded to black.
You didn't see the director's.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's airing on
everyone
Cinemax
was talking about this like it's,
on Friday nights.
Yeah, it's, you know, what was it? Blue was the warmest airbender. It wasn't anything like
right.
that. It was... So yeah, all the controversies over nothing. It's a really great show, and everybody deserves to check it out. It's, you know, great story, lots of action, and yeah, big fan. So looking forward to see what the creators come up with next.
Nice. All right, not too much interesting. I did have this one series. I was talking a little bit of Twin Peaks the other week, so I'll tie it to this. It's a show called Serangoon Road, the first produced show from HBO Asia, which I didn't even know was a thing, but it is a thing. And it stars Joan Chen is in Serangoon Road.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
She runs a detective agency in Singapore in the 1960s. So that's kind of that's the period you're dealing with. You know, there's Vietnam stuff happening here and there, but the main character is this former, he's like a badass former special ops guy, was raised in a Singapore prison, and he ends up partnering with Joan Chen's character to kind of untangle some mysteries, get involved in something called the Red Dragon Gang. So it sounded pretty cool. It ended up being pretty much a procedural, you know, like you're kind of by the book procedural, but the combination of the cool setting and the badassness of the main guy probably lifted it a little bit above just mediocrity. So, but it was well done, well executed. And as far as procedurals go, it's probably worth checking out. So,
as HBO Asia, where is it airing in the States?
I don't know. I just had the DVD set. I have no idea. It may not be. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Is it in? And it's in. It's in. It's not in English, I assume.
It is. Yeah.
It is in English. Okay.
Yeah. It's co-produced. Yeah. It's co-produced by an Australian network. So it's a partnership of HBO and Australia. Where like Strike Back is a partnership of Cinemax and Sky in Britain. So I guess you're seeing this thing happen. So
gotcha. This partnership. Okay.
So it must have aired in. I think it must have aired in Australia.
Gotcha.
So, all right. And Eric, I'm going to add Eric here. I'm going to bring him on, and we're going to ambush him with what he's got cooking for this side. So whether he's ready or not. So, hey, Eric, you here?
I think so. All right. You hear me?
Yeah, seamless transition. So we're going to launch right into what you have got reviewed for the site coming out. So how's that?
That sounds fine. See, this week I'm reviewing the newest Mystery Science Theater set. It's that time of year. That time of the quarter of the year again.
And seems like that time of the week.
Pretty much.
I'm glad I didn't say that time of the month. I appreciate
that. I appreciate that. That's good. Another review that should be going up shortly, if it's not up when you hear this, is my review of Foxcatcher. To be a little more... I guess award season-y.
Yeah.
But that was fine. I think it's, a movie that didn't really... It might have gotten a bit of a bump from being nominated for stuff, but I don't know that it meets the expectations. It's a well-directed kind of biopic that doesn't necessarily fall in some of the trappings of biopics, although Steve Carell's prosthetic nose is kind of distracting.
But isn't that the ticket to an Oscar nomination, prosthetic noses? Right.
I guess so. I'm not sure why.
Something about prosthetic noses people flip for.
Sure, that's why Throat Wobbler Mangrove won all the awards.
Well, and we know that maybe got the prosthetic nose from Nicole Kidman, right?
That's right.
That's Shirley Fugate.
Yeah.
So something to that. All right, good. Anything else you want to, before we launch an ambush topics, you want to enlighten the viewing audience with anything else?
I guess. I don't know what you guys talked about. I did want to mention that I went to the movie theater this past weekend and saw Cinderella.
Oh, good.
And? I don't know if you guys, did you guys talk about that?
We haven't.
Okay. No, our
I know Daryl was going to. But.
Yeah, that was my big thing this week.
That's right.
Sure. No, our local bank basically made it free for anyone to go to our local movie theater and watch it all day Saturday. So, so my wife and daughter went in the afternoon. I couldn't go with them, but I went at night all alone like a weirdo. Uh-oh. And because I heard good things about it, so I want to check it out. And it's free. It's a free new movie. So
the raincoat was because it was raining.
Exactly. Something like that. But, I actually really liked it. I found it kind of took a bit. I'd heard a lot of good things about it. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. And I think it is probably what you expect it is. It's not one of those, reimaginings or retellings or upendings. It's not, it's not told from the mouse's perspective or something weird. It's Cinderella, but it's one of a rare modern movie that's made completely kind of sincerely without any kind of snark or kind of, detached irony. Yeah, it's really just beautifully made, and I think it does just enough of kind of fleshing out characters without trying to find some, backstory for them that makes them.
So we didn't see the evil stepmother's torturous childhood.
No, but at the same time, they kind of flesh out the story enough that you can kind of see what might be driving her, but just enough to kind of fill out the character so she's evil, but she's not cartoonishly evil. And you can kind of see the way that Cinderella kind of falls into the abuse and servitude that she falls into without it being suddenly like, oh, and her dad's dead, and now she's a servant. It eases into some of that stuff in ways that doesn't make her dad seem like an idiot for marrying the stepmother. And I don't know. I thought it's a really well made movie, and I was and if you can see it for free, I highly recommend it.
All right, very good. Not all of us have these magic banks in life.
I know. This is magic stuff. And then the only other thing I wanted to. Point out is we so long talk about how you know, most new TV shows aren't that good. A show I don't think we have mentioned, although maybe you guys did earlier, is I've been watching Last Man on Earth and very much enjoying that show.
I'm curious. Is it related to the old story?
I'm sure. I don't think so.
Okay.
It's related to a guy who is the last man on Earth after some horrible virus wipes out everyone else at the, you know, essentially. Okay. There's a little more to it. I guess at this point, it's a few episodes in. People know that there are Kristen Schaal is also in it.
Will Forte and Kristen Schaal, right?
Yeah, yeah. Although they've added January Jones now, which is kind of an odd, because she's not
very great. Odd.
She's not great, but Kristen Schaal is great, and Will Forte is great, and it's a very funny show, and a show that takes some chances in interesting ways, and kind of gets to the heart of relationships. If you take away some of the trappings of, you know, general decorum and having to deal with other people, if all of a sudden you were the only two people left on Earth, essentially, what would it be like? So it's kind of interesting. I like it. I think you should check it out.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. So let's push right into our ambush topic segment. So you know how this works? So we're going to do a double whammy on Eric. He just walked in, so no, I'm going to get ambushed with the first ambush topic.
That's good, because I don't have an ambush topic yet.
Oh, so. Right.
Oh, wait. So you mean I have to come up with an
ambush topic? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right. Let me think. Okay. My ambush topic is my ambush topic is free movies that you... Oh, wait. No.
Just not in conjunction with your lending institution.
Yes, exactly. No, I'm going to go with... Yeah, actors that you know from other properties that are far edgier than what you're watching them in now.
All right, that's good. So actors from edgier properties. Yes.
So someone whose appearance in what you're watching seems odd given what you know them for generally. Gotcha. Okay, phew.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. All right. Okay.
I will kill you all with my ambush topic.
Yeah, well played. I mean, Daryl, this has got to be a layup for you, right? There's got to be a bunch of...
Well, you don't find a lot of, like...
Crossover? You don't see a lot of crossover?
You don't see a ton of crossover. Okay, I do have one. Right. Although, it's probably marginal. I got to get her name. Dang it. Sorry, hang on. Somebody else think of one.
Okay, I'll go.
Thank you.
Well, I think the reigning champ of this category has got to be Robert De Niro, right? Star of all those great 70s crime movies and, you know, in the Scorsese movies. And then he goes and he does the Meet the Fockers, and he's in Rocky and Bullwinkle, and he's doing all these, like, sort of, you know, play-it-safe roles and... You know, we miss the edgy, intense De Niro, and now he's just, you know, the kindly Uncle De Niro.
Correct. Boy, an easy one to reverse this would be Dustin Diamond, but we don't
want to. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
You'd have to actually have seen the movie, Dish.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
Let's none of us admit to having done that.
No.
That's correct. Okay.
All right, I'm good to go.
Go.
So, like I said, it probably isn't that dramatic, but Karen Gillan spent, whatever, 2.5 years as the companion on Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I see of her, from her after that is her starring role in Oculus.
Okay.
Which is a fine little horror movie, but it's a little bit odd to see her both playing an American, which, you know, is a small thing, but also, like... eating glass.
Yes.
So, you know.
For example.
Not to spoil anything in that movie.
No. I guess, are we to me now? I guess we're to me.
No, I haven't gone yet.
Oh, you haven't gone yet. Okay. So,
okay, let's see.
You better not take mine. Yeah. You won't. It's about Cinderella.
About Cinderella.
Yeah, I got nothing else, right? I'm ambushed.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. How about from edgy? Okay. I guess the one thing that popped in my head was before Vin Diesel became a, I guess, a legit mainstream star. I mean, he was kind of known for, like, Pitch Black, right?
Right.
So I'm not sure. Maybe this doesn't quite fall into line, but he was in that awful movie, The Pacifier. Anyone
remember that? Right. Yeah, that's true.
So I that may have gone past Fast and Furious, but he had never done anything close to that. He was always, you know, the brooding Hulkster.
Well, and in a similar vein, you also have The Rock in Daddy Daycare.
That's correct.
Or no, it's Triple H in Daddy Daycare.
Oh yeah. Well, The Rock did Escape to Witch Mountain, which was kind of
Yeah. The Rock did
The Tooth Fairy, I believe. Right?
Yes, he did also do The Tooth Fairy. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, The Pacifier was that. Terrible. Tooth Fairy was terrible. I may have reviewed both of them. I definitely reviewed The Pacifier. That was rough.
So. Did you review Daddy Daycare?
No.
I don't know. It's definitely Eddie Murphy. I'm not sure who else is in it.
Yeah. Did Wesley Snipes do? Didn't he do one where he was? What did Wesley Snipes do? He did the Wong Fu, right?
He did time. Yeah. Oh, Wong Fu.
Yeah,
with the legal problems, he did a bunch of direct to DVD stuff.
That's true. All right, that's it. So that's your go ahead. Cinderella's on. Go for it.
Okay. So Prince Charming in Cinderella is played by Richard Madden, who's probably better known to Game of Thrones fans as Robb Stark.
Yes.
So things end very differently for him in Cinderella than they do in.
Excellent.
No, there's another guy too who I recognize from Game of Thrones. I had to look him up, and he is Nanzo Anozie. He was Zaro Zilla guy from
Sandaxos.
That's the one.
All right.
Yeah. So basically, they're together in a lot of scenes because he's the prince's captain. So there's a whole lot of weird like Game of Thrones moments in Cinderella.
Nice.
If you watch the show,
and they all take place in the imagination of Tommy Westfall. True as well, as he shakes a snow globe with a Saint.
That's exactly. It's exactly true.
Oh, it's all connected. Because Richard Madden's character was a newborn in the Wing of St. Elsewhere, so it's all connected. All right, good nimbleness for the episode.
Sure, whatever.
Okay, go ahead, Mac.
All right, Daddy Daycare was Eddie Murphy, Jeff Garland, and Steve Zahn.
Jeff Garland, nice. Wow. Yeah,
there's a winning lineup, excellent.
All right, next topic, inspired by the recent episode of The Flash, our topic is tidal waves.
There are a lot. Okay, I will go with my favorite. I find them all uniformly terrible, right? I think tidal waves in general. I just actually saw a trailer for the Liam Neeson movie, the San Andreas, speaking of The Rock, right? Just more CGI things exploding, but there's a huge tidal wave, which... just not threatening at all. But I will say my favorite corny, unbelievable tidal wave has to be Die Another Day, right? Where James Bond fashions himself.
Oh, man.
Fashions a parasail surf thing and surfs a tidal wave. That's when I think everyone said, okay, time for a gritty reboot. You know, that's where like the MGM executive opened up the little plastic case and pressed the big red button that says gritty reboot. Come on. There's like, weren't there like 20 disaster movies in the late 90s that had tidal waves?
That's the problem. I never saw any of them.
were there any tidal waves in either of the volcano movies? I saw those.
No. Like the only ones that...
That's too bad, because I watched both of those.
You didn't watch any of the Killer Asteroid movies?
Was there a tidal wave in Armageddon?
Maybe it's a throwaway gag.
Maybe. I wish it was Asteroids, then I could do Wet Hot American Summer.
That's right.
Does that count?
Oh, no, close.
Tidal wave. I don't watch the kind of movies that have tidal waves in them.
Wow. So we know you're not very pretentious at all, but that must be the most pretentious thing. Personally, I don't watch movies.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. What I meant is What I meant to say is I have a terrible memory when it comes to
that. That's good.
So, how about one of the Godzilla movies?
Yes.
How about Godzilla?
The actual guy, yes.
How about Godzilla, any of them, even the new one?
New
I was
one
like,
very
there.
Much
yeah,
got
yeah, yeah, totally. Boats getting knocked over and stuff.
So there you go.
But I will say that if you think hard, there is an Arrested Development one. It's a very small scale tidal wave, but it applies because it was wiping out a small scale replica of something.
Oh, is it Tiny Town?
Tiny Town didn't get wiped out. It was when
it got wiped out by a robot.
By a giant mole. Well,
that's why I thought. I've got a bad memory even when it comes to the rest of Development, Dave. So I'm not pretentious. I'm borderline senile. I think it's basically the problem.
So remember when Michael's making the sandcastle while George Michael's stuck in the...
Oh, okay, that's what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
phone's ringing.
It's the revelation of the pool.
Where's my phone? I use it to dig the south tower.
He used to dig the south tower.
No, you're going to ruin it. What am I saying? Yeah, that was great.
All right, guys, just gotta buckle down.
And power through it.
Power through it.
His little nine-year-olds in swimsuits.
And now a wave took Mike's sandcastle down. He's making a sandcastle?
And apparently ruined his phone, too.
He did ruin his phone, yes. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Daryl. Your tidal wave.
Well, I wish I had thought of that, but I'm going with sort of a default myself, and in the end, it's very similar to Godzilla. I'm going with the mid-2000s Korean horror movie, The Host.
Yes.
Which is awesome, and also has, the same type of tidal waves of giant monster coming from the sea.
Very good.
So I'm riding your coattails, Eric.
There you go. That's all right. I'm a jerk.
Yeah,
I'm pretentious, didn't you know?
Yeah. You're super pretentious.
I'm
would never watch a movie with a tidal wave.
To be fair, what I said was T-I-T-L-E wave.
Ah, yes.
Oh. With a title of waves,
that's
you know.
Right.
I mean, that's really cheesy.
Good
but no, tidal waves are great. I don't know.
You have poor memory.
Well, you know, what can I say? We up here in New Hampshire, we cling bitterly to our tidal wave movies, you know. That's what we base our life around. There's not much else going up around here, you know.
Hold on to your guns, religion, and tidal waves.
Tidal waves, yes.
All right,
go ahead, Mac.
By the way, the one that from the asteroid movie you were thinking of was Deep Impact.
Yes,
that
yes,
giant
tidal
wave.
That's where Tia Leone bites it, right? By the
yeah,
way.
And well, it's where a planet Earth bites it. But yeah, but the one I was thinking of was there's a really funny indie movie from the mid '90s called Living in Oblivion with Steve Buscemi, and speaking of Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage is in it too, and. It's behind the scenes of a making of a movie, and there's this one guy who's the cameraman. He keeps trying to pitch his screenplay to the others, and his screenplay is Tsunami. It's about a giant tidal wave that's attacking Los Angeles, and only one renegade cop can stop it. And that was the pitch he keeps making over and over.
Wow. Did he stop it? Oh, that was for the movie.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was the movie within the movie within the movie. So I always wondered how the one renegade cop could stop an entire tidal wave, but... I guess if they cast Bruce Willis, they could have had something.
Good point. All right, I will go this time. I took the day off, caught that Liam Neeson movie with my dad, but we made a stop at the local Sears department store. Eric, if you're not familiar, that's kind of
just
a place.
Just okay. For that?
To watch bankrupted places?
Good,
like
yes.
why I shop Kmart?
That's exactly right.
Is that's kind of like a Neiman Marcus,
it
right?
It is. Very, yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, but my dad's looking for a watch, and we found a great deal on a watch, so my ambush topic is cool watches.
Easy. I'm going with a... James Coburn in either of the Flint movies, who has, so he's, you know, super spy and is pretty much just all around rad.
Yeah.
And sleeps, on two chairs, one with his feet and one on his head. And he is awoken, by his alarm watch that silently puts out two little prongs to poke him in the wrist. And he gets up and he's Flint. And it's just fantastic.
All right.
I don't know if this is a cool watch, but it's a memorable one from Pulp Fiction. The Christopher Walken's watch story.
Very good, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as a side note, Dave, do you remember Service Merchandise? Did you ever order out of the Service Merchandise catalog?
That sounds familiar, but...
Isn't it?
I got nothing for you. Why?
It was like... I don't know why Sears reminds me of that. I guess they both begin with S. But, I mean, I've been to Sears multiple times. I remember this from... there's one kind of near where my grandmother lived. Like my recollection is you'd go into this sort of storefront. It was just like a bunch of catalogs on tables. You'd pick something out of a catalog. And you'd order it out of a catalog inside the store. Or you could do it if... I don't know. I remember getting a remote-controlled car that way.
All I do know is if we ever change the name and title of this podcast, I'd like to change it to Service Merchandise.
it's really what we offer.
That's true.
Those are the two things that we offer.
Absolutely. Hey, well, not so much merchandise, but service, yes.
Oh, yeah, with a smile. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, Mac, cool watch to you.
Well, I guess I got to take it back to James Bond, right?
Yeah.
Because there was, I think it was from Russia with Love. He had the watch with the garroting wire in it.
Right,
pull out the wire and strangle a guy. That was kind of the classic. Of course, Moonraker had the watch that was the dart gun.
Yeah, that was like that. And that's what sent Hugo Drax into the oblivion, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in M's office, he shot the dart at the painting and hit the tail on the donkey.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Clever gag.
Archer winds up recycling a ton of those gags.
All right. Really?
He's got all those watches at various times.
This is kind of an obtuse reference, but I'm not sure if you guys. There's a show that I reviewed for the site that I quickly fell in love and watched millions and millions of times over. It's The Mighty Boosh. BBC's The Mighty Boosh, which I love dearly. Just kind of surreal comedy, but there's... And this is not going to work at all because it's a complete you-had-to-be-there type of thing. But there's one of the characters is trying to impress some goth chicks. So they're all sitting around for seance, and you hear, like, the deep gong, you know, the bell tower bell. And you realize that the character Vince, he's got his watch is just a gigantic bell tower. And he says, "You like my watch? I got it from Top Goth." I thought that was funny. And that's it. That's all I've got. So...
Nah,
it's not that great. Okay, let's wrap it up with, I don't know.
But I don't get an ambush topic? Why am I so sad?
That's your ambush topic?
Why am I so sad?
Sure. Boy, that's a good question.
Sure.
Okay. All right, so Daryl's ambush topic is why am I so sad? All right.
Why is Daryl so sad? I mean, I guess there's a lot of possibilities.
Why am
really.
I so sad, unquote. All right, we're doing
why
it,
why am
Daryl.
I so sad?
We're
that's
doing it.
Happened.
Okay.
It's happened.
It's happened.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna go with in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Crash and the Boys play a song where it's just I'm so sad and that's it. It takes about 5 seconds to play.
Well, I'm gonna take the handoff.
Okay,
Scott Pilgrim and go with George Michael's Good Grief, right? His Peanuts song when he gets done by hand.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously that gets handed off to both Tobias.
Yes, and Job. And Michael.
And Job when he's...
and Job.
For his front page, his finally achieves front page and Poof.
He's getting on the cover of Poof. Finally getting on the cover of Poof.
I should be in that Poof.
And, okay, quick, I believe there's one more person who walks to the Peanuts sad song. Who is the character? Who is the? I think there's.
Unless you said it when I was listening. Isn't it George? George Bluth, right?
George Senior. It is right. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I can't remember the context though.
But I think he finds out Lucille's.
Lucille's
with Oscar.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
It's the after the. The newspaper article airs that Lucille Bluth helps a homeless man.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Helps a homeless man, right. That puts a lot of pressure on these pants. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. All right, so...
Matt, why am I so sad?
From John Waters' movie Crybaby, features the song Teardrops Are Falling. and the incredibly disgusting scene where the girl has been crying so much she's filled up a glass full of water from her tears, and then she drinks it in one big gulp.
That sounds disgusting, yes.
Yeah, that's very sad.
All right, no thanks.
That sounds like one of the least disgusting things you could find in a John Waters movie.
Well, that's true. For Crybaby, it was pretty good. There are legends about people like throwing up in the theater when they saw it, but maybe those are only stories.
I think that's Johnny Depp.
Throw up happened at the end of Pink Flamingos.
Yeah, well, that's a given.
But, all right. You know, when you're comparing John Waters, it's a little bit less extreme.
And that, and all this could be the answer also to why you're so sad.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, Daryl, it's your average topic. Take us home.
All right, why am I so sad? I guess I'm so sad because I am waiting, I cannot yet see the end of Mad Men.
You cannot yet see the end of Mad Men?
Yes. Right. That is why I am so sad.
Because it hasn't started yet?
Because it hasn't started yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But you stole my George Michael one,
okay.
Dave. So I kind
of and we ran through all the other characters, so you couldn't use those.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't just throw something
did,
out.
Did the did the Peanuts Walk of Sadness make it into like season four? Do you remember? I don't remember.
I don't think that it did.
I don't think so.
And I just rewatched it recently, so yeah, I don't think it did.
Okay.
I don't think it did.
All right. Okay. Boy, now I want to watch Arrested Development.
Yeah, me too.
So we'll end this so I can do that. So Friday Filibuster at dvdverdict.com is the email. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. And Mac, take us away.
Why, baby, why?